Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
You know, we've talked about this before, but this one might top them all. The sunrise we're getting right now to the east.
Unbelievable. You know, it'd be more unbelievable if we got a sunrise to the west. That would even be more unbelievable.
That would be a story.
Yeah, that would be a story, but this mind-boggling sunrise is just gorgeous.
Wow.
I'm telling you what, that is orange and blue right there.
That is phenomenal.
Isn't that beautiful?
I want to run out and buy Rocky season tickets, knowing that I will be treated to sunsets.
Mm.
Almost as glorious as this.
Right.
This
kind of stuff is things that millennials only see pictures of. They don't actually
boomer.
They don't actually see this. They're picturing, like, when does this sorcery happen?
Shut up!
At noon when I get up, it doesn't look like this. When does this sorcery happen?
I go to my Rockies games. I watch that beautiful sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll prepare to watch 9 innings of no Nolan.
Yeah, but they have beers and peanuts.
Yes.
Denver dog.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
sunsets.
How are you gonna go wrong?
Man. In the mountains.
Yeah. Little queso dip.
Come see your Rockies.
Queso dip. Schlereth.
Yes, it's there. Yes, it's there. It's there. Yep, I've had it before.
All right.
Delicious. Delicious. Mm-hmm. Okay. On to something more positive. Like, all of a sudden, the possibility of the Broncos going into an offseason with unbridled optimism out there. I mean, you feel it. You feel it building. And there's almost like let's get this season over with just so we can get to, 2020, right?
Is there anything you think that would tamp down that optimism that we have right now? I mean, certainly there are going to be, and I think James Merrillat put it very well, regression to the mean, but, we expect Drew Lock to have one of those games that you're just going, it wasn't a very good game. We expect that to come down the pike here at some point, maybe in Kansas City this weekend. But is there anything, short of injury that would take away some of your excitement for what's gone down the last couple of weeks?
What has to happen in these next three? I think it's as simple as go out and compete in Kansas City. Don't have to win.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and compete. And beat Detroit and beat Oakland.
Can you imagine?
If that happens, hold on. We'll get to the dream scenario here in a second. But you do that, you go 7-9, which not only is exactly what I picked them to go this year, but it will validate what you said back in August.
Mm-hmm.
That this could be a 7-9 or 8-8 season, but depending on how they finish, it can feel like a very successful arrow is pointing up type year. And you would have had, after starting 0-4, you would have gone 7-5 the rest of the way, including since turning things over to your presumed quarterback of the future, going 4-1.
That would be huge. By the way, you look at, obviously, Kansas City is playing better. Now, Mahomes has got the bruised hand, right?
Ah, Andy Reid says it's not a problem.
It's not a problem. As he's licking barbecue sauce off his fingers, it's no problem.
Delicious.
Got the barbecue in Kansas City. Oh my goodness. It's delicious.
Oklahoma Joe's.
Ugh. Why Oklahoma Joe's?
I don't know, but I know. You'd think it'd be, Kansas City Joe's, but I'm telling you, Oklahoma Joe's is... There's like this converted gas station not far from Arrowhead, Royal Stadium. Unbelievable. Phenomenal.
I wonder if the guy, because this would make sense, if the guy was from Oklahoma and his name was Joe.
I'm going to go with that. I'm going to assume that.
Sounds plausible.
Sounds plausible, right?
what were we talking about? I got lost.
You got lost thinking about brisket and burnt ends.
I love brisket and burnt ends.
All right. So, no. What is your?
Now.
Yeah. No. Have you beat Kansas City?
Well, wait. Whoa. First off, I mean, the Raiders are struggling. Here's what the Raiders have. They have a big, strong offensive line. They can, pound you into submission and run the ball exceptionally well. But if they get behind the chains, Mike, or if they have to throw it, they don't have a downfield presence. They can't really stretch you vertically. They can stretch you horizontally, but not vertically. And that's where they get themselves into trouble. When they can consistently rip off 6-7 yards a carry, they'll beat you. But when you can stop that, when you can sell out to that, their wide receiving core is just not what it needs to be to take you to, take you over the top, so to speak, as an offense. So that's what's hurt them. I've been prepping this week for Detroit, so I've been watching a bunch of Detroit film. And let's face it, Detroit is struggling. They just put Marvin Jones Jr. on IR. That's one of their top, but Galladay is the one guy you got to take away. He's a good player. They're down to a street free agent, although he's playing well in Bo Scarborough, but he's playing well, but he was on the street in October, is their starting running back. David Blau is their quarterback. I think his name is David Blau anyhow. Yeah. He was a guy they traded for Cleveland before the season started. Like they're struggling offensively and defensively both. They're not a very good football team right now. So there's some serious issues. So that's like you got an advantage there. You can take advantage of those two at the end of your schedule. Now it's just the dream scenarios. Can you go into Kansas City, who's playing better defensively? They're playing much better with a new coordinator. They're playing much better football, and and you got a quarterback with a bruised hand who couldn't grip it till yesterday. So, like, you're telling me there's a chance, so to speak, right?
Yeah,
maybe one in a million, but there's a chance here. And it's less than that the way they've played.
But if you can win two of the next three, and that loss is a competitive one in KC.
Oh, my goodness. This
you
place
are gonna
is going to be crazy.
This
is going to
be crazy. People are just going to be fired up for the draft, fired up for free agency, fired up for we'll get prepared to play the Cecil Lammy drinking game. Every time he talks about being at the Senior Bowl or the Combine, take a drink.
Right.
All right. I've been getting bombarded. It is no longer Oklahoma Joe's. It's been changed to Joe's of Kansas City.
Oh, Joe's of Kansas City.
Which is a smart move.
Yeah, henceforth, since they're in Kansas City.
Yeah.
That would be like going there and opening up a restaurant and calling it Mike's of Colorado.
Right.
You're probably not going to get a lot of business.
Probably not going to get a lot of business. So
Colorado Mike's.
Apparently it's Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. So
Joe's.
All right.
All right, Joe.
All right. Way to go, Joe. Way to go, Joe. All right. We'll get your thoughts on that. RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Joel Klatt will be joining us coming up here in about a little over half an hour, 7:45. He'll be joining us. But up next, are the Chiefs in the Broncos' head like the Broncos used to be in the heads of a certain other team that we love to beat? That's coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank, banking for good.
Anytime you have lost to a division opponent 8 straight times, like the Broncos have, it raises the question, are the Chiefs in the Broncos' heads? And I turn to you, Mark Schlereth, because you know a little something about this. Because what was your record as a Bronco against the Raiders?
11-1.
11-1. Was there any doubt in your mind while you guys were dominating the Raiders that you were in their heads?
Never a doubt.
Never a doubt. How did that manifest itself?
Well, you would see it right off from day one when the daily clips and stuff would come out. You know, when you'd hear, not that you paid a lot of attention to it, but you always heard. The first thing they would do is the defensive players would be talking about how dirty and how they always cutting guys and they won't play us straight up and all that garbage, right? So automatically, like, you'd break the huddle, the first thing you'd say is, hey, watch your legs, you know, just to make sure that's what they were thinking about. I can't tell you how many times, like, I remember cutting, what was the guy's name, Daryl Russell, who, you know, took over after kind of Chester McLaughlin. He was an all-star player, you know, like all-pro player, but I'll never forget, like, cutting him and him just sitting, like, him on the ground, kind of on top of me, punching me in, like, the back of the helmet as TD ran right by him for, you know, a long gain. And I'm like, you know, I do have a helmet on. This doesn't bother me. You can hit me in the back of the head all day long. It's not going to bother me. Meanwhile, you should be getting up to try to make a tackle on a cutback, and that running back is just flying by you. Like, you just knew that's what they were worried about. That's what they talked about. It wasn't about, you know, it wasn't about going out and winning games. It was about, well, they're a demon, you know, whining and crying. And so you just knew you were in their head. The other thing we always used to talk about, Mike Shanahan talked about all the time. Hey, listen, they're one of the most talented teams on paper, but they're just not tough enough. Like, we used to talk about it all the time. They're just not mentally tough enough to play you guys. So weather the storm, you know, play it tight, weather the storm, and eventually they'll roll over. And they did it was like clockwork. When the going got tough, the Raiders just folded tents, said, well, I guess we're not going to win today.
And it's interesting because I'm looking at this 11-1 stretch you're talking about, and, you know, there were a few blowouts in there, no doubt about it. There was a, you know, 27-0, there was a 40-14 game in there, but there were a lot of close games.
Sure.
Just like if you look back at these 8 years that the Broncos have lost, or 8 times that the Broncos have lost to the Chiefs. It's not like, yeah, this last game was a blowout, 30-6, but 30-23, 27-23, 27-24, 29-19, 30-27. You know, so there have been some close games in there, just like there were during that stretch you had. So maybe that's the biggest example of when you're in a team's head, that team is just hoping to win, ultimately expecting to lose. And the first signs of it pop up and they're like, here we go again.
Yeah, it's always something that I think when you're the one in the driver's seat, when you're the dominant one, you're expecting something good to happen for your team. Like, this is where we take over. This is where we, you know, we kind of exercise our dominance. This is where we do whatever. And the other team is like, uh-oh, here we go again.
Have you seen that with the Broncos and the Chiefs? You know what it looks like. Have you seen it?
I don't know.
Or is it just a case of the Chiefs are just better?
I think it's mostly the Chiefs are better. What I've seen is a team that has played the Kansas City Chiefs exceptionally tough. You know, I see it differently. Like, they're not necessarily equally yoked, Mike, and yet the Broncos come up. Come on, when Vance Joseph, they should have won the game. Vance Joseph is coaching, and, you know, and they get an airmail ball over Demaryius Thomas's head on a, you know, on a cover two that should have been that should have been a touchdown.
It's mind-boggling.
8 yards over his head. So what I've seen is a team that's not as talented as the Chiefs that have always played them, you know, right to the, pretty much right to the core. Now, as I mentioned after the game at home Thursday night against the Chiefs, and you get blown out 36 with Matt Moore running the offense, that was an embarrassing loss. That was one that you just didn't play. You didn't show up. But for the most part, they have played them very tough, even though I think the Chiefs have been a far more talented team, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, this has to be a bitter Raider fan. On the RodMoslaw.com text line. 11-1, huh, Mark? Too bad you had nothing to do with those wins other than standing on the line taking up space.
No, we only rushed you look at the average rushing yards per game. I bet you we had over 150 yards rushing per game. But yeah, you don't need to block people to do that. See, that's how dumb you are, Raider fan. It's just dumb.
Yep. Yet another Raider that you're in the head of.
Mm-hmm. I am swimming in your dome right now. I'm just floating in there. I got a drink with a little umbrella on it.
You've taken up full residence there.
Standing around, taking up space. Now, that's what the Raiders were doing when we were playing them. Standing around, taking up space, watching TD run for touchdowns.
God, you had to be so far into the heads of the Charger, Raider, Chief, Seahawk, lineman. Oh, God, they must have just came off the bus just like thinking about you guys cutting him.
They hated us.
Oh, they must
have just hated us. Which was great. I mean, that's...
Why won't you block us straight up?
Yeah, all kinds of...
All that kind of stuff, huh?
Like, put your offensive line on. They cut as much as we do. Frequency with which we cut was probably more, but, you know, I mean, because there were certain plays it was just mandatory.
So everybody cut?
Oh, yeah. Everybody in the league. Everybody in the league. But now we may have done it, like, where it wasn't mandatory. Like, when I was in Washington... We never cut anything. And on the backside of plays is where it became mandatory. So on the backside of plays, you know, a lot of teams say, hey, you can cut this or you can block it straight, however you want to block it. Where we were like, no, it's mandatory. If you don't get on guys' legs, you're going to get a minus grade. So the frequency with which we did it, everybody did it and everybody had the same, again, everybody runs the same crap. So everybody did it. We just did it with more frequency because it was mandatory. And if you didn't do it, you got graded down. So you had to do it. And I hated cutting. You know why? Because I had to get back up off the ground. And with my knees that don't bend very well, it was work for me. I hated it. But, you know, I mean, I would rather do that than get a minus grade.
All right. So a little nostalgia trip here. Who were the opponents that Bronco fans would recognize that just hated the most what you guys did? That just...
The guys who whined about it the most?
Whined about it, looked to start fights over it. Just, you could tell it bothered them the most.
Honestly, it was really just the Raiders.
Oh, really?
In our division, it was really just the Raiders that cried about it. Now, the Chargers back in the day had an unbelievable defense. And we got to the point where... We didn't run our standard stuff against the Chargers because we just never were very good against them. They were so good at what they did. They had two just studs in John Perella and Jamal Williams and they just made it really difficult on us. So we really ran like Fox 2 run is what we ran, was just an ISO play. And we ran some cutback stuff, but that one wasn't as much. And the Chiefs were really good, so the Chiefs didn't cry about it, and they ran a lot of the same stuff on their offense. You know, a lot of the same.
But the Raiders cried.
Oh, the Raiders cried stunning. Like a bunch of, babies whining stunning. About it all the way.
That guy that said 11-1, you standing on the line, I assumed he was a Raider fan.
Yeah.
Texted back, Jason in Loveland, diehard Broncos fan, he says, I just can't stand Mark Schlereth.
All right, Jason.
Well, hey, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
That's all we really care about. Yeah. Happy holidays. Jason,
happy holidays. Hope it works out for you.
More with Mark Schlereth.
Yeah.
In four down territory.
Hey, you don't want people that, you want 50% of the people to love you.
Yeah.
You want 50% of the people to hate your guts.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm doing my job.
There you go. All right, four down territory. You're welcome. Coming up next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is four down territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I have.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
Yeah, we can always look back at the two picks, me trying to force something. You know, when I feel it's not there, like I said in the interview a little bit afterwards, my hands separate. I thought I should throw it and then went back on it and then ended up throwing it to where, you know, if I don't force things, I'm going to end up being all right. Just let the game flow, let everything come to me and, you know, take what's given to me.
All right, we know that teams are going to start to throw different things at Drew Lock. What do you anticipate the Chiefs doing that Houston didn't do last week?
Well, I think you will see the Chiefs and Steve Spagnuolo, their defensive coordinator, you'll see them give multiple looks, pre-snap looks, show one thing, obviously being something else at the snap of the ball or late. And I think that's what you always want to do to young quarterbacks. He's athletic, man. He makes people miss. You know, you need to bring some pressure. You need to do some of those things. But the bottom line is change up the looks, make it uncomfortable, make it murky. Can you make it murky for a quarterback so that he holds the ball? Because usually what ends up happening with young quarterbacks, if they hold the ball for a second, then they're late, then people can break on the football. You know, and when you have a guy like Matthew back there who's got great ball skills, like that is exactly what he's looking for.
Yeah, plus also a guy who I think we all would admit still needs to really work on, refine his mechanics. The more you hold on to the ball, maybe the more you get a little happy feet, and the more those mechanics start to kind of expose themselves a little bit more and maybe cause a problem. We shall see. We can't wait. Next in Four Down Territory.
Second down. I think if we continue to grow and we continue to mature as an offense, as a defense, you know, we got a lot of young guys. We got guys that continue to mature and grow. You know, we could be looking at a very, very bright future for years to come.
Cortland Sutton, part of that young core that people are getting excited about. If there was any, I guess, negative at all to what the Broncos did last week, was it the, I don't know, kind of quiet day that Cortland Sutton had? 5 catches for 34 yards. Does that have to be a point of emphasis week this week to make sure you get him more involved?
No, absolutely not.
No.
That's the reason they put up those points.
Spread around, 8 different receivers in the first half.
Cortland Sutton got consistently, they found a way to double-team Cortland Sutton on pretty much every single play. Their whole game plan was, hey, we'll double-team Cortland Sutton, we'll play man underneath, and you're not going to be able to beat us. And Drew Luck got away. The one time he forced it to Cortland Sutton, one time, got picked off. Right? It was clearly a double cover. It's clearly a trail situation by the corner and a safety over the top. That's how they did it. That's how they took it away. Like, he's 100% right. If you just take what the defense gives you, you're going to be okay. And he did that the majority of the game. And I think sometimes you feel like, man, I'd like to get it to my guy. I want to get it to my guy. You know, and in those cases, what you do is you throw him a couple of bubble screens. You do a couple of things like that to get him the ball underneath. But the bottom line is, you can't force the ball down the football field.
10 different Broncos caught passes against the Texans. Next on Four Down Territory.
Third down. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's football. You know, he's going to go back there, and he's going to be happy to be home. And he's going to want to play well for all his family and friends. I heard he had a lot coming. So for him, I think he's going to stay focused. He knows the task in hand. He knows what he needs to do. So I think he's going to be focused as he always has, and he's going to do what he does best.
There's Philip Lindsay. The Chiefs have been better defensively the last 3 weeks, but they have been prone to some big rushing games by opponents this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is Philip Lindsay kind of the sort of forgotten guy all this week in leading up to this game, that he might be the guy that you really want to showcase?
Well, I think there's a couple of different things. One, anytime if you're going to double-team Cortland on a consistent basis, which I assume that the Chiefs are going to try to do, you know, that side of the football field, Mike, is ripe for the picking when it comes to running the ball, because that safety's responsibility is to be over the top. So he's not a run the alley fill guy. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, those are some things that you're going to have to attack. We'll see exactly how Rich Scangarello and this offense actually attack those opportunities. But, you know, you always want to stay as balanced as you can stay, especially with a guy at the quarterback position, Mike, that can run. They can create that play action. They can create that feeling of, uh-oh, we've got to protect the edge, or, uh-oh, I got to suck up as a linebacker because here he comes, and open up those windows behind it.
The Chiefs, only 4 teams have given up more yards per game rushing than Kansas City has. Kansas City giving up almost 138 yards per game on the ground this year. Next in Four Down Territory.
fourth down.
It doesn't feel great right now, but it's something that you play with. In this sport, you're going to get hurt. You're going to bang something. And so for me, it's about going out there and competing and relying on my teammates to help me out whenever I'm not feeling maybe 100%.
Phenomena.
Showtime!
The best part about playing the Chiefs right here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The best right there. That little mashup. So, Patrick Mahomes came out yesterday and said, "Today was the first day I was really able to get a grip on the ball. Today was the first day I was able to really grip the ball, throw it, and drive it down the field a little bit." He hurt his hand against the Patriots on Sunday. Said he couldn't really even feel his hand. Said after the game, quote, "Didn't feel great right now." But immediately after the game, Andy Reid said, "Oh, he'll be fine. He's playing next week."
Yes. Andy Reid knows.
Yeah, Andy Reid knows, right?
He knows. He's got to play. I tell you what, they're a talented group, and you talk about the amount of long balls, like deep throws, 40-yard-plus touchdowns. I mean, they've got to lead the league in explosive plays or be right there at the top of explosive plays.
It's like how Andy Reid is so confident
in other people's bodies.
In Patrick Mahomes' healing powers.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, it'd be fine. Hey, look, his kneecap rolled over to the other side. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not
a couple
that,
weeks. He'll be back. He might even play this week. Who knows?
Yeah. He'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
Don't worry about
nothing
him.
To see here. He's good.
Right.
Meanwhile,
you gotta keep our composure!
Licking barbecue sauce off his fingers.
Yeah. He's just like, this is good.
Millennial Ben asks, is that a fat joke? I don't know. Maybe just.
I eat because I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy because I eat.
No, he's a big man.
Yeah, right? But you're just Kansas City. You're going to have barbecue.
Man, Millennial Ben has just been salty all day since literally 6:01.
Yeah, when something
he started yelling
fired
at us about
incorrectly,
something.
And then the next thing I know, Millennial.
He's like, I dumped it. I had to dump it. I'm like, okay.
All right, relax.
It's okay. Relax.
Okay, boomer.
Oh, that'll do it for Four Down Territory. Our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Yesterday, Joel Klatt was supposed to be on with us, but he had a meeting.
I'm sure it was a big time.
I'm sure it was an important meeting. Well, apparently no meetings on the docket. His schedule is clear, and Joel Klatt will join us to give us his insight into what he's seen from Drew Lock. Is he surprised? I have a feeling he's going to admit he is surprised. We'll find out with Joel next. Joel Klatt, scheduled to join us.
Well, what about Sean McVay?
I wonder if he's in a meeting.
Might have another meeting.
I mean, he's an important guy.
Maybe he's having a meeting about Sean McVay.
What if he's having a meeting?
Well, what
about
Sean McVay?
A meeting that he has to go to. Think about that. A meeting about a meeting that you have to have. Had those meetings.
He's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. A pre-meeting meeting.
You do those? You do pre-meetings for the big meeting?
Yeah, pre-meeting. Talk about what you're going to talk about in the big meeting.
Oh.
Yeah, the pre-meeting meeting.
You TV folks. Big-time TV folks. Who knew?
Like, you get it together, like,
who knew?
With your producer guy and say, hey, before we go to the meeting, let's meet about this. And then you meet about that, and then you talk about it again in the meeting.
I gotcha.
When the coordinating producer's there.
Oh, the coordinating producer.
Yes.
We got Is It Just Me Friday coming up tomorrow, but we already got one in.
Really?
Guys, is it just me, or if Locke slows down his speech and adds a little more drawl, he sounds just like Matthew McConaughey?
Wait a minute.
All right, all right, all right.
Wait a minute. Let me hear some Locke. Now Ben's scrambling. Go ahead. Oh, well. Joel's here.
Oh, apparently he does not have a meeting or a pre-meeting.
Well, what about Sean McVay?
Joel Klatt joins us now.
Meeting to the meeting.
Yeah, yes. How'd that big meeting go yesterday?
Hey, can you make this quick? I got a meeting.
Touche.
Yes.
Touche.
Yes.
All right.
All right. So, I mean, the obvious question, what did you think about Drew Locke's second start?
It was amazing, right? I mean, the Broncos haven't looked that good in, shoot, man, I don't know, since the Super Bowl year, right?
Well, they didn't even look good in the Super Bowl. No. Maybe 2014.
Yeah, 2014.
Yeah, offensively.
It was a great performance all around, especially against a team that I think a lot of people thought highly of. I know some of the narrative out there is that this is kind of the Texans' MO, two steps forward, one step back. But I tell you what, that was impressive. That was as good of a Bronco win as I can remember, you know, since those years, obviously, when they were competing for that 1 and 2 seed and going to the Super Bowls. And that was fun to watch. That was fun to watch. And I don't know where I fall on this, like, am I frustrated that we didn't see Locke earlier, or am I thankful that they held him until they felt like he was ready? Right? So, like, were they wrong or were they right because it's succeeding? I don't know. It's like a frustrating question to ask yourself, right?
Do you think he's the answer based on this 2-week sample size?
I think it's really tough to tell in 2 weeks. You know how I feel about quarterbacks needing multiple years to really know what they are, who they are within an offense. You need multiple years without a coaching change, much less multiple years starting before I think you can really have a definitive outlook of whether you're going to be like a second contract franchise type of guy. Having said that, the talent's clearly there. And by all intents and purposes, it looks really good. So, you know, that's where you just kind of continue down the road and you keep plugging away at that kind of game plan, at that kind of style, and try to build on one win with another. I don't think, you know what I mean? Like, hey, definitively, can you say, like, yep, this is it. Give him a long-term contract. I'm not sure. Do you see some things that you're like, boy, that was really enticing, and let's continue to peel back that onion? Absolutely.
Yeah, one of the things that's always interesting to me, because you've seen it over the course of time during the league, where a guy has two or three really good starts and some team decides to pay him in the off season, and then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, he regresses back to the mean. Defensive coordinators figure out kind of what he's good at, what he's not so good at. They make him so play left-handed, so to speak. So, like, sustainability from what you've seen early, and I know it's such a small sample size that you can't give any definitive answers on that, but what you've seen early that entices or encourages you to think that he could be, you know, more of a long-term solution here in Denver?
Well, you've heard me talk a lot, Mark, about quarterback being somewhat of a bottom line deal, right? Balls on time, on target. And like, I was pleasantly surprised with the fact that he threw a couple of passes that were really anticipatory, that I didn't really see in college from him. You know, his offense in college lent itself to open guys, waiting to see those guys, and then using his arm strength. And I saw a couple of throws that were anticipatory that I thought, boy, you know, like, that's a little different. That's much better. That looks like what it should look like. I think that's the element that I was most excited about maybe above anything. With the Broncos, like, maybe even above how great the defense played, maybe even above how I thought that was the best and most aggressive offensive game plan that they called. I thought that was one of the best sequencings that they had as far as concepts and building on the game plan. I don't know if you felt the same way, but it certainly felt that way for me just watching it live. And then some of those anticipatory throws, like, I think that's what got me most excited. Because that's what I was most questioning with their draft pick of Drew Locke. I hope that makes sense, but I think this league comes down to anticipating. It comes down to getting the ball on target, on time, in those tight windows, and I thought he did that pretty well.
I did too, and I'm with you on the whole game planning aspect. One of the things that I've seen or that I saw last week that enticed me or intrigued me was the execution. So, you know, there the blocks were being made. There was better execution along the line of scrimmage from the receivers, from the tight ends, from the offensive line. Obviously, changing on the right side of that offensive line made a big difference with the changing of the right guard. You were much more aggressive. You played a little bit tougher at the point of attack. I liked all that stuff. But how much of that do you think comes from a quarterback? Like when you believe, and you see this in the college game all the time, when you believe in the guy standing behind you, that guy can make a play, how much better, how much does that elevate? Because isn't that what really that position's about elevating the people around you?
Yeah, and that's the mark of the great one, right? And I don't know if that's exactly, I don't know if it's what Drew is saying in the huddle or on the field or on the sideline in that game specifically. A lot of times it can be just the urgency of change. And when guys see that he runs onto the field, they know how much the organization has invested in him. And they understand that better or worse, this is kind of the underbelly of it, at least in my estimation. You're right. Now, listen, you're right. But there's also, I think, a little bit of a subtext. And that is, when it's Drew Lock and he's a high pick and they've saved him for this moment, you subconsciously know and consciously know as the other, you know, members of that team and the other 10 players out on the field with him, like he's not necessarily going to be held accountable, right? Like he's the one with the pass out there. So if it doesn't go well, your neck is on the line. And I think that that creates an insane amount of urgency from a professional football player when they realize that it's like, listen, if this doesn't go well, they will create excuses for him. They will create excuses that basically get me cut if this doesn't go well. And I think that that urgency is maybe the subtext and the subplot of a professional football team that late in the season doesn't have much to play for and all of a sudden puts in their young quarterback that may be the future. The urgency that that creates with the 10 other players, I think, is palpable. I don't know if you had an experience like that or not, Mark, but I do think that that's a real thing. These are jobs for these guys. And I think to some degree, you've got the urgency of trying to keep that job when the organization probably is not going to be holding the quarterback accountable based on where they selected him and how they've handled him so far in the first part of the season.
Visiting with Joel Klatt, he is presented by Audi Flatirons. What do you think of Drew Lock's mechanics, specifically his footwork? Is it an issue with you? And if it is it easily fixable?
Footwork is fixable. I don't really care about mechanics, to be honest with you. I think that the mechanics of how the ball is released is secondary to how you maneuver your body and how you play as far as footwork is concerned. We see all types of throwers of the football and all types of releases become successful. Now, I have a preference, right? But the fact of the matter is that preference doesn't really equate to success, right? Success, like I said, so many different types of releases, but generally all great quarterbacks have great feet and they understand how to be on platform unless you just have an insanely talented arm. And he does, by the way, he does have it like pretty tremendous arm talent. And when you have, it's like a sliding scale, right? It's like the more arm talent you have, the less important your feet are. Patrick Mahomes, Brett Favre, you know, think of that. And then you've got the guys that have great arm talent and great feet. Think of like Rodgers as a guy like that. But I think Locke could always improve his footwork. I think that that's one of the areas of quarterback play that you should always strive to be better at. You're never a work, you're never a finished product, I guess I should say. As it relates to footwork, because you always have to work on creating your platform, making sure your platform is steady, so that you can throw the ball accurately, so you can throw the ball with power, with a touch if need be. You can change up the pitches if you need it, you know. So all of those things are important. I think Locke needs to continue to improve his footwork. I think that his footwork at this point, if I were to like grade it, Mike, would be average. Arm talent well above our average, so he just needs to continue to work on his feet.
Got to get your thoughts on the CSU coaching hire. The initial review, Steve Addazio, very kind of lukewarm at best. The guy that had just been fired after several years at Boston College. What do you think of the move?
He's a really good coach. That should not be lukewarm at all. I think that's a terrific hire. That's a guy that understands football, that has had success in the Power Five. That's a tough place to have success now at Boston College. And I think that that's the type of guy that I would hire if I was on the search committee. I had some insight into what they were doing just because that there were some guys that I'm close to that were on kind of the search committee, if you will. And, you know, there were some names in there that I thought were interesting. He was one of the guys that I was like, boy, if they could hire him, that'd be a home run. I think it's a home run. I'm more of a meat and potatoes style of coach than most. I don't want rah-rah. I don't want fluff. I want good quality, hard-nosed coaching staff. I think Addazio brings that, and I think that's what they need. Both of those programs, Colorado and Colorado State, desperately need to get better at the line of scrimmage. I think Steve will bring that to Colorado State, and Mel is certainly doing that at the University of Colorado. So I'm really happy for him. I think that that's a great hire for them. I don't know why it would be lukewarm. And by the way, you know what I've always said, no organization or program should ever make a decision based on fan sentiment. I hate to say this to you fans, I love you. I love you.
No,
fans,
you really
awesome.
Don't.
It's
really
why
don't.
We have,
really
no,
don't.
No, no, no. Fans are awesome. They really are. And they're the reason that we all have jobs. And this is, the passion that they have is palpable and it's fantastic. But never make a decision based on fan sentiment. They don't know anything. I mean, my goodness, they can't draw up a play, for goodness sakes. Fan sentiment, lukewarm. Luke this. He's a great coach.
That's why we love
him. That's why we have you.
All right, Joel.
Just an initial quick thought or two about the two semifinal matchups.
Clemson, Ohio State, I feel like is a game for the ages. I think it's a coin flip between two great teams. I'm actually really disappointed that this is not a national championship because it's the two longest win streaks in the country. I believe Ohio State is like 17 or 19, something like that. Obviously, Clemson is 28. I can't wait to see that game. I think I'm leaning Ohio State. Hell, I've seen them seven times. I should probably lean towards Ohio State. And then I think OU is a bit of a placeholder this year. And probably gets beat by LSU by a couple of scores.
Okay, great nice. Stuff. Appreciate it, Joel. Go get to that meeting. I know it's very important.
Yeah, I've got a meeting. Mm-hmm. Some of us have to work.
I know. So get to that meeting. You're a very big deal. Thank you, Joel.
What game are you calling? Are you calling a bowl game?
Are you doing any bowl games?
I'm doing the Holiday Bowl, USC Iowa. So, you know, congratulations to you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
There you go. Hey, right. Pal.
See you, buddy.
You're ridiculous.
All right.
Ridiculous.
Joel Klatt. Each and every week with us, presented by Audi Flatirons. It is KKR.
Can you make this quick? I got a meeting.
It is.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.